Well, we're back. She's back.
I am. I'm here. I'm sure everybody's like, who? What, when?
I still hear it a little bit, but my gosh, I'll tell you, I've been going on the show here without you and telling people. Actually, no, you've been with us because I've been playing your music. I've been playing your songs. I've been saying, well, Amanda can't join us here in person, but, well, she's going to join us anyway, whether she knows it or not, and we would play your music. That way you're part of the show anyway. You know?
Aww, hey. Thank you. How very sweet. It's so lovely to be back.
You sound wonderful. You sound great. Oh, no, you actually, I still hear it a little bit. I do hear it, but you sound
yeah,
lovely. 98%, 99% better. You sound so much better.
Yeah.
That was real bad.
It was crazy, absolutely crazy, yeah. Right? I was sending boys voice messages on WhatsApp. I was like, boys, I can't get on. Listen to me. You just can't speak properly right now.
Yeah, so, I got those messages.
I couldn't believe my eyes.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's 2023. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah.
2023. Happy New Year to everybody.
Happy New Year.
We've had some fun shows over the holidays of Christmas and New Year's, and I had to do a couple of solo deals because you were not feeling well. I skipped a couple, I think.
It was all right.
We did. I think I also did one over Christmas, which was cool. We actually got the entire Handel's oratorio, The Messiah, we played uninterrupted on our show as a gift for any listener that cared to hear it. But that was cool because I even tuned in for that. That was very
cool. Oh, that's so good.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a beautiful voice you have.
Thank you.
Thanks. Love it.
Hey,
so how was Christmas and New Year?
Christmas was really good. It was great. We went skiing. Did I tell you that or not? I forgot. But I got a surprise birthday gift, which was the day after Christmas. And on Christmas, we took off to the mountains. My wife and kids rented a cottage up at Bear Mountain. And we had such a fun time doing karaoke and singing and drinking and skiing. And it was amazing for the family. It was a total surprise. It was fantastic. Great. I hadn't skied in so long. It was so great to have skis back on, man. It was just terrific.
Oh, wow.
I think it's been 10 years since I skied. Yeah.
How did it feel, though, getting back to it? Is it kind of like riding the bike? You get used to it?
Almost. I mean, I didn't fall. You know, it was fine. It just kind of skis, the technology has changed. I used to own my own skis and boots and all that. I used to ski every week.
Yeah.
And I don't know how good I was. I got down the hill. You know, I got down the ski runs pretty good every time, you know, always. But I don't know how technically good I was, but I had a lot of fun. That's what counts, that I was safe, you know, and under control, you know. And I did blues, the medium and the greens and even some of the black diamond difficult ones on the East Coast. But I was never what you call it, you know, skilled, you know, amazing skier, you know. But I had fun, you know. I had fun,
yeah.
You know, and I went fast,
yeah,
too. I like went fast. But anyway, it seemed to me that a little bit of trouble controlling some of the skis, a little bit. It was very slushy. It was 54 degrees, and they went down 30-something finally. But so the conditions weren't terrific. Kind of reminded me of the East Coast a little bit. I skied a lot on the East Coast on ice. I mean, you know, they'd make snow and it'd freeze over, and you'd have, you know, you'd try to carve it turns on ice. Better off with skates, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't icy, but it was still – conditions were okay. It got better in the early evening, and we didn't even stay till past six or so, but it got better. And it sure did remind me how much I loved it. And I got better, too. I started enjoying it more and more and more. And there was one big hill we went down. It wound all the way around the mountain with incredible views. That was so crowded, you think you're on L.A. freeway with all these people on snowboards and falling and beginners and stuff. You know, Aaron, you're going on like an obstacle course with people of all sorts of experience levels, and you're – but, you know, it's still good. I mean, it was just, you know, not my cup of tea. But I stayed with the equivalent of a I guess they call it a beginner, an easy but long, you know, downhill run. You know, wide, good, long, some steep in some areas downhill run, and got to go fast and kind of picked it up again as I went along.
Nice.
But I'm sure we have a lot of listeners out there who are skiers and probably a lot better than I am, but I do enjoy it. And we'll do it again. It kind of got me thinking, God, am I going to buy equipment again and all that? And I'm like, okay, Andy, come on, don't get carried away here. Don't get carried away.
Yeah. Well, you're already better than I am because I've never been skiing.
Oh, my. We got to remedy that. That's phenomenal. Once you start, It's so scary at first.
It is
very scary at first. You know, but you learn some techniques. You learn to control your skis. You learn how to kind of put your skis in a V like a snowplow and just kind of just, you know, push the snow ahead of you to keep your speed under control and just press on the ski and you turn. You press on the other ski and you turn. You press on one ski. You kind of unweight a ski. You don't lift off the ground, but you unweight and you turn.
Wow.
Bam. And the more you unweight, the sharper you turn. And then you start feeling that. You start kind of feeling that groove and that turning, the bam, like a motion, like a rhythm in music, you know, bam, bam, bam. You know, you're kind of turning and turning and turning. You just kind of in control. And if worst comes to happen, you know, worst comes to happen, you fall, you know, big deal. You know, you land on your butt and who cares? It could be tough getting up sometimes, depending on how steep the hill is, you know, on the slope. But it's a lot of fun. is there skiing anywhere near where you are?
We've actually got in kind of in between this town and the next town, there's kind of a hill with a a fake ski slope, you know, the people go skiing there. A lot of people rave about it, and I could just go there if I wanted to try it out. I mean, it looks like fun, but like I said, I get nervous. I thought I could be quite clumsy, so yeah.
I want you to ski. I want to get videos of it. Yes. Maybe. I would take you. I would take you. I could teach you to ski. I mean, I go down. You know, I know how to ski. You know, but you know, I'm not with this skilled like amazing. But I can definitely. I've taught friends and kids and so forth how to ski.
They seem
to enjoy it. They don't get hurt.
Excellent.
That's the important thing.
I trust you. Yeah.
Yes. Worst comes worse, I'll take you piggyback.
Yeah. Hop on. Oh, thanks. Yeah, fantastic. I'll let you do all the work. I'll just, you know.
Yeah, you just go for the, right. and sometimes, even if you get off the lift chair, without falling, you're doing okay, you know.
They look pretty cool.
It's great. Oh, it's great. Sometimes, depending on where you're skiing, just that ride up, unless you're freezing your butt off. I've been, you know, back east in Vermont, I'd be, you know, the temperature, windshield would be like below zero, 7-8 below zero. And there'd be very few people out, but I'd be one of them. And, you know, taking the chairlift up by myself and the wind's blowing and you're freezing your ass off. But why? Because an amazing run down, you know, and you just really, you know, there's barely very few people there and you're going Speedy Gonzales, you're turning and you don't even think about the temperature. And then when you get down there and you ride back up again, you're like, oh my God, freezing shit. Oh shit. And all my friends, everybody else goes in. Not me. I'm out there, man. I'm out. I'm skiing.
Yeah.
But it's a lot. But, you know, the views on the chairlift on the way up, I mean, just, you know, especially if it's a comfortable temperature, it's a fun experience. I mean, nice views, meet great people. Everybody's there for skiing and having a fun time and going to the ski lounge, having a beer or some hot chocolate or something and, you know, whatever, some food, a burger or whatever. And, you know, it's a great atmosphere. And the ski town, like it's a Big Bear, the towns where these ski resorts are ski villages. And everybody's there for skiing, and they're renting cottages, or some people, of course, own cottages and vacation homes, whatever. But it's everybody's there for skiing and hanging out and going out at night and trying to do different restaurants. And, you know, it's just the whole ski atmosphere is just really, really great. It's so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah. It finds it. It finds it.
Yeah, I'll go from skiing to sailing. You know, sometime I got to do it the same. I got to ski in the morning and sail in the afternoon out in the ocean. I got to try that. I haven't done that yet.
Wow.
I got to try that.
And then hiking and you know, at night.
And then hiking. Yeah, I'm less than 5 miles from amazing hiking trails in the San Gabriel Mountains. Less than 5 miles. And I'm 17 miles from the beach.
Wow.
Yeah. Welcome to California. We had some monsoon weather here, man. There's been such horrific rainstorms here. I don't know if you've read about them. I know everybody's reading about them, getting messages, Andy, over here about the weather there. It rained like you wouldn't believe. Holy smokes. Did it rain here over a few days?
It's kind of happening right outside the window right now. for days, we've had rain and winds. It's just unreal. And the temperature has literally been jumping like between, I want to say about 5 degrees difference from one day to the next. So it's so bizarre. I was explaining to Bella that this time of year in the UK, you know, generally speaking, would have been zero temperatures and minus temperatures. And these past few years, especially this year, in fact, more so than any other, it's been quite extreme in the temperature changes and how erratic the weather is. But then we get weather come from your side of the world and from Europe, kind of hit the UK. We tend to get that just bombard us quite often. we kind of, it almost feels like we're in this little hole in the middle of a donut, and everything's happening around us, and we get the, you know, the flavor of everything else from the outside. That's what it feels
man.
Like.
But, you guys, you get cold, you know, gray winters and cold and rain and snow, and we know, you know, Southern California, you know, this is, you know, Southern California is warm, and even when it gets cold, it's usually in the 60s, maybe in the 40s at night, and and to get that kind of rain is just totally, I mean, people are, it was really, I mean, being from the East Coast, where of course we had, you know, blizzards and hurricanes and rain, this was unreal. I mean, this is like a monsoon, like,
just crazy, right?
It was unreal. I'm supposed to get more rain this weekend, I think. But strangely enough, we're still not out of the drought. A lot of places, I think, like where we are, even though it you know, buckets and buckets of rain. That's a Bob Dylan song. Buckets of rain. it still was not enough to remedy the drought situation that we've had here in California. So the amount of water we've had is very welcome.
I can understand that. I think it's much needed. It is crazy, isn't it? I mean, we've had like flood warnings, and parts of our town has had some of the roads and even like the paving, the sidewalk is like flooded over. And again, unusual for this time of year. We're only like 6 degrees difference from you right now. You're what, 54 degrees? Something like that?
60 right here, partly sunny.
Oh, 60 right now.
Yeah.
Okay, we're 48 degrees currently, if it's correct.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you know, it's just odd.
And you're 11:30 there at night almost right now. It'll be in the it has gone down to 44, 45, 49 at night here. It's 60 now, so I bet it'll go down to 50 tonight or 52 somewhere in there, maybe colder.
Yeah.
I don't really know. But yeah.
Okay.
Do you know you know, you heard the news there, maybe that, or maybe you didn't, I don't know, that Joe Biden's aides, advisors, found less than a dozen documents that he'd taken with him, or somebody packed them mistakenly when he was vice president, and found them in his University of Pennsylvania office when they were cleaning that out in November. Mm. They found some classified documents. And the first thing they did is they got hold of not directly, but they got hold of the Department of your National Archives, and they were returned right away. Bam. Oh, by the way, we found these. We didn't mean to have them, but here, you know, here.
Oh.
And of course, the Republican extremist commentators loved it. Oh, my God, because, first of all, there were less than a dozen documents. His own staff found them. They called and they said, we got these. We need to get them to you. And I'm sure it's happened before, by the way. And we didn't mean to take these, but we got them. We don't need them. We don't want them. We're not supposed to have them here. Take them, whatever. And that was the end of it. Boom. You know, if Trump had done that, it would have been the end of it as well. Trump knowingly took hundreds of documents, lied about them, refused to return them, lied to his own attorneys that he returned everything when he knew he did not. There's some empty folders with documents missing from those folders right now that they're wondering where are they, who has them. He lied, and he lied again, to the point where the FBI had to raid his house, and they found hundreds of documents. If he had told them, I have them, there would have been no raid. He said, I don't have anything. He lied. And the Republican commentators, the right-wing extremist commentators, I call them, just had a heyday with this. Oh, but Biden has documents. Oh, is the FBI going to raid his house to see how many more? I mean, come on, folks. But you can't draw a distinction between the character of Joe Biden and Donald Trump. You got issues, you know? Unbelievable. And, okay, so what happens today, breaking here, is his aides found another – one more document or you know, a couple more, something like that. In another office, they found a couple more. But, you know – you know, Biden probably did not pack any of that himself. You know, I'm assuming that he probably didn't, that he has staff or whatever. You know, I can't see Joe Biden cleaning out his, you know, picking papers up. You know, I just can't see I can't see any president or vice president doing that. I'm sure they have staff and help and aides that do all that for them.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Donald Trump did know. I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of documents, top secret classified, labeled that. You have to be pretty to not know that you're not supposed to take these. Is I know I'm not going to go into it because I'm going to put a level of intelligence upon our listeners that would make it not necessary for me to explain that to them.
Yeah.
So here's what else happens, right? So Joe Biden was going to increase the funding for the IRS, hiring hundreds of agents whose main job would be, you know, training, you know, hiring people, you know, hey, we have jobs, come work for us, you know, good salary jobs, crack down on tax cheats, right?
Right.
Which would net the government, you know, millions and millions of dollars, millions of dollars. So the GOP's first bill was to, ready for this?
Okay.
They want to cancel that because they think that, hey, why should, you know, we don't want the government going after our own people.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And then we don't want the government going after the rich and famous who don't pay any taxes.
Right. Huh. Funny that.
Right. Its first bill, the first bill of this Republican, barely majority Republican House by five, took 15 rounds of votes to get the leader in there of the party, Speaker of the House. The GOP's first bill, though, exposes the, you know, where the right wing is headed, where right wing Republicans are headed. You know,
right.
It's they're looking to defund Biden's efforts to help the Internal Revenue Service crack down on those who don't pay taxes or cheat on their taxes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Andy.
Unreal, you know? Did you hear about George Santos, the congressman from New York?
No.
Okay, this guy, George Santos, was campaigning upon where he went to school, never went there, campaigned upon his mother being killed as a result of a COVID, never happened, campaigned on his income as being $55,000 a year, but somehow he got millions of dollars to, you know, spend on a campaign. And where did that money come from? Nobody knows. Amazing guy stands behind a podium and disputes lies. His name's George Santos, S-A-N-T-O-S, George Santos. Look him up. That's everybody's homework. Listen, look up George Santos and look about all these. Everything he says is a lie. And the Republicans, the entire time he's running, he got elected, he's a congressman, the Republicans didn't say a word about it. Didn't say, hey, you don't belong here. We're going. No, they let him, you know, hey, that's what we do. Remember Trump? That's what we do here. But now, New York Republicans are calling on the lying representative George Santos to step down. New York Republicans are.
Wow.
Resign. You can't, this is how you got in the office. Well, one lie, another lie, another lie. Who you are, your background, where you went to school, where and how your mother died, where you got your money from, what you invested in, all these, one lie, everything I'm saying here, he lied about. Every single thing. Every single thing.
Wow.
And because he got voted upon.
Right.
He got voted upon. I want to let you take the show for a minute while I take this call.
Oh, yes. Carry
all
on.
All right.
You know, but as you guys know, sick for several weeks, and there's been something, we can't quite work it out because no doctor's been able to label it as anything. Andy said it could be a strain of flu when I spoke to the boys on WhatsApp. So, yeah, it's been a pretty weird one. I had a congestion on the chest, sore throat, swollen glands. My glands are still swollen and I lost my voice for a while. And it was very, very odd. Never experienced anything like it. And most of the people here in the UK have come down with variations of this. A lot of people that I spoke to had tonsillitis. And this wasn't exactly tonsillitis. It wasn't far from it. But it was a very weird experience that I've not had anything like it before. And again, everyone I spoke to said that, I had something similar. I was experiencing this. And it was taking a while to go. And then other people started coming down with it while I had it. And so all over Christmas and New Year, it was feeling poorly and coughing up the mucus on my chest. Sorry to be disgusting, but there it is. And so, it was a crazy, crazy time. and finally get back into the swing of things. And I think, you know, since we had the COVID issue and we kind of hid ourselves away for those 2 years, well, 2 years here in the UK, not sure about the rest of the world so much, but being in lockdown on and off for those 2 years was chaotic because we kind of withdrawn from society so much that we had perfect health for most of that time for those of us who didn't contract COVID, obviously. And it seems getting back into the swing of things, and now we're at the height of, you know, the season, the time of year where things spread more and you get more bugs and things. It's like things have now mutated and people are experiencing things they didn't quite experience before, which is understandable. And more people are getting and experiencing COVID, and it's not doing the same kind of damage as it's done previously. So that's a great thing. But yeah, so here I am back on the show and happy to be back with you guys. I was looking at some of the media today, and we had a legend, a British guitarist, pass away. You may know him, Jeff Beck. You know, he was such a major legend here in the UK. He was 78 years old, contracted bacterial meningitis. And, yeah, he didn't make it, the poor guy. And, yeah, he's just so fantastic of a musician. When he replaced Eric Clapton in the Yardbirds, and worked with, what's his name? Oh, my goodness, mine's gone blank.
I'm back. I'm sorry.
Hey,
so I can tell you a funny story. I told you when the, before the show started, I had a car deal here, and I had a guy come in to service my car. And so I got a studio in the back here, and the car's out front. And anyway, I'm having problems with the car, with Ford Flex, and I got it jumped this morning. And the radio wouldn't turn off. The heat's blasting, and I'm driving the car around just like you would if you get a battery jumped, and you drive around for a while. And the heat's blasting. I couldn't control it. Couldn't turn the radio off. You know, I tried the voice commands, all that stuff, touch screen, nothing worked, and parked it, and a little later, the battery's dead again. So I called Geico, by the way. I've got Geico Roadside. They're amazing. Highly recommend Geico, not only for their insurance rates, but the service is outstanding. I've been with them for decades. Geico. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. Okay.
And that wasn't a paid advertisement, but I think I should call them. Anyway. But anyway, so I called again, Geico, and they came out again. They said, why don't we just tow you somewhere? When I talked to the guy, and he was great, the Geico guy. And I said, well, because I don't know where I want to tow it to. He said, look, you're included. You can tow you anywhere. You can go to any dealer. Even the closest dealer is 200 miles away. It's included. We tow you no charge. And I'm like, wow. And but I didn't know where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do, or I probably want to take it somewhere and talk to somebody to have it diagnosed to make sure. I Googled the issue, on Google I found other people had similar problems with that Ford Flex, put a brand-new battery in it, and it remedied. The battery's just too weak to run all those, the complex computer systems and so forth that are in the car, I guess. And so I figured he's a new battery. But anyway, I called the Geico and they wanted to come tow the car somewhere. And I figured, nah, let me, Dick, will you come out and jump it? They said, well, if it's the same car, the same issue, and usually the second time around, we like to tow the car to get it fixed, which I appreciate. But I said, look, I don't know where I want to tow it to. So anyway, okay, we'll make an exception and we'll come out and jump it again. So I just went out there. And in the meantime, my wife was hanging around and she was going to do something with the car or whatever. And I told her I was going to call and have it jumped again. But so when the phone rang before, I went out and the car's not there. So my wife must have gotten it jumped and taken it somewhere. I have no idea. The car's not there. So, but she didn't tell me. She didn't say anything. Oh, I'm going to, you know, she text me or call me or anything that she took the car, but it's not there. So she must have somehow gotten it jumped and went to get it fixed. I really don't know.
Let's hope.
I have no idea.
Something else has just gone off of your car.
this is my life on a regular basis. This kind of thing. This is what I do every day. This is what I do. I go through that. You know, it's unbelievable.
All these surprises.
Unreal. Yeah. It's unreal. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Usually it's with my checkbook.
Oh.
I wake up in the morning, I open my checkbook, and I close it at midnight.
And then you hear the creak when it opens again.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Unreal. Hey, speaking of which, Taylor Guitars, again, this is not a paid advertisement, but I'm a partnered artist with Taylor Guitars, a fine manufacturer, an outstanding large builder of of guitars here in the United States. And you got Taylor guitars over there too. I just ordered a 517 Builders Edition, which should be ready in a couple of days. A gorgeous new spruce top mahogany back in size, which I've had my eyes on for several years since before COVID. I was down at the Taylor Builders, the factory, huge, almost like a little city of buildings down there, and was getting a 12-string guitar of mine tweaked that they'd got me. And one of the tech guys said, hey, have you tried out the new 517 Grand Pacific? It's kind of like a dreadnought, kind of more of a little departure from the normal Taylor guitar line. I tried one at a big music show called NAMM that I participate in, and you know, so many people there, it's hard to tell. It seemed like a pretty good guitar, but he said, I've seen you play, and you should go up to the, you know, visitor center where they have hundreds of all little guitars on the walls, and you should go to the visitor center and play a 517. And 2 hours later, I was still playing it.
Right.
So I had my eyes, I had my eyes and ears on that guitar for, and I finally, and I couldn't get one for COVID, and I finally ordered one, and should be picking up my new guitar very soon.
Wow, yes. Fantastic.
So some acquisitions coming my way. A new guitar, and I'm also getting my first real good, really good telescope.
You
know how I'm into you know how much time we spent on the show talking like space and stars and galaxies and light travel of light speed and, you know, infinity and all these things. And
infinity and beyond,
I'm getting what's called a Celestron 8-inch evolution telescope with, it's got remote control, so you just say, you know, point to the Andromeda galaxy and you know, so it does deep space observation really well, like, you know, clusters and galaxies and, you know, and of course our own solar system and the moon. Can we talk? It's like you're there. But this is a phenomenal. Yeah. I got a caller. We got a caller. I think we got a caller. Here we go. Let me. We're talking about deep space and space exploration just for a second, because let's take this call and welcome our caller. Welcome our new caller to the Andy and Amanda show. We are on the air. How are we doing?
Good, good. How you doing? This is Harry K. How you doing?
Hey, Harry K. So Harry and I just met, right?
Yeah, and it's my first time tuning into your show.
Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
We have Amanda is in the UK, 8,000 miles away, where it's currently.
Yes, hello, Amanda.
Hello, darling.
Going on midnight, and of course I'm here in California. And
you are.
This is the Andy. Let me make sure. Wait, I gotta look. Wait a minute. I gotta make. Let me look around a little bit. I think
I'm
in California.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Harry, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. So I just tapped in, and last I heard you were you did something with guitar manufacturing.
No, I'm actually my full-time gig when I'm not doing the show, which sometimes I wonder when I'm not doing the show. Anyway, no, my full-time gig is I'm a what they call a singer-songwriter. I play acoustic folk and blues. And I tour and travel and make records and do, you know, I've been a guest on radio shows as a musician, and I play folk and blues festivals and folk venues and cafes. I've played some gigs in L.A., you know, in Los Angeles, but I mostly, most of the shows I do, I travel, I tour and travel, play festivals and different venues from here to the East Coast. And
very cool, very nice.
So I've been doing that going on 30 years now, it's my profession. I'm an airline pilot. I used to fly jets for a living, believe it or not. And so I stopped, furloughed from my airline job, Rick, and during that furlough, I was playing music and got some gigs under contract, and I never looked back.
Very nice. Music is language of love, they say, something like that. It's universal, that's for sure.
Yes,
it
absolutely.
Is.
I agree
it
with
is.
That completely. Yeah.
It's wonderful. You're talking about sharing and about making a difference and connecting with people. The whole thing to me is about making a connection and making a difference in someone else's life for the time we get together.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
That's
and so what's the current topic you guys were talking about until I interrupted when I stumbled upon with this call?
I can't believe you interrupted us. We were talking about guitars and we were talking about telescopes. I'm getting a telescope. You, when I get this thing Carrie, you're in L.A., right?
Yeah, I live in L.A. I'm a North Hollywood native.
North Hollywood, man, that's
cool.
Great. Wow. So you're from here. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh. Have you met at famous people in your tenure here?
Famous people? I have, and I'll be honest, most that I've met, they wanted me to keep it a secret, so I can't say...
I believe it.
and it's because of the industry I'm in. I'm in the roadside business, so
right.
You know,
right.
Most of the guys, if they do call in, if their vehicle breaks down or something, they do tell us to keep everything private, just so you know.
Of course.
Nobody ends up finding out where the car's going.
Yeah.
Or where it's gonna
yeah. Oh, of course.
You know?
Absolutely.
Of course. When I was a pilot, I used to fly a lot of those people. I flew for a private charter jet company, a kind of a fractional ownership company where people bought a fraction of the airplane. They had access to a whole fleet of jets, like access to a whole airline, and then actually owned a piece of an airplane. And, you know, we had hundreds of airplanes and thousands of pilots, but we flew former presidents. I flew, you know, musicians and, you know, newscasters,
wow.
You know, people you'd see on NBC Nightly News, you know, cabinet members, presidential cabinet members, like the Secretary of the Treasury and so forth. And
that's
a lot
incredible.
Of times,
yes.
Yeah, a lot of times I got to be on a first name just by Catherine Graham, who was Washington Post when Woodward and Bernstein were there. You know, former President Robin Williams, Bruce Willis, Debbie Moore, the Cathcarts, the people who own Tootsie Roll, Gordon's Candies. I flew them all the time. But yeah, the Cathcarts.
Amazing names right now.
Yeah, and I was a pilot. You know, it was like being a chauffeur in the air.
Yeah.
You know, pick them up, take them. It was like being a Uber driver in a jet.
Cool. Did they ever like come up and thank you for your wonderful flight?
Yeah, quite often. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you an interesting story. I was flying, you know, very well-to-do family, and her family. I think their two dogs, whatever it was, but you know, a big plane and my family on board. I flew, I'm trying to think where, I don't remember, because I mean, I've been all over the country sometimes. I mean, everywhere. And I was the first officer, co-pilot, and the woman came over to me with a wad of cash in her hand. And she offered cash, and she said, thank you very much. What a great job. I just want to thank you. And I refused the tip. I didn't want to take it. You know, I chose that profession. I knew how what it paid, which wasn't bad. And that's what I chose to do. Like when you go to a doctor, you know, you get a tooth pulled. Oh, but you go to your dentist and give him a tip. Oh, here. and you know, I considered being a pilot a profession that I chose. And therefore, I did not want the tip. And the woman said, never turn down money. And she, you know, she's still very cordial, said, never turn down money. And she, you know, said goodbye. And that was the end of it. The captain came up to me and said, whoa, did you get that cash? And I'm like, no, I turned it down. And he said, you what? You what? Don't they teach you anything in grad school?
No.
Well, you know, I totally understand the humbleness, and I appreciate that. There's not too many people like you like that out there, so you know.
No, that's very true.
When I started playing guitar, you know, I come from flying in bed, and I've been playing. My was my first band. I was 1 year old, and I was a studio musician off and on. Even in my flying career, I still played guitar on the side and so forth. And when I first started playing and getting gigs in New York City at the, you know, places where Bob Dylan started, you know, the Folk Era in Greenwich Village, you know, I was playing those venues four times a week, sometimes more. And I remember when I first went to New York, you know, really known like a bar, you know, like a music cafe where Bob Dylan way back when. And the bartender comes out getting started, and the third time the bartender puts up this great big plastic Coke, big thing, and to the stage. And I said, "What's that for?" And he said, "That's for your tips." And you know they're, you know, and he said, "That's for your tips." I said,
wow.
I don't want that. I don't want tips. I don't want tips. Take it away. And the reason why. And after a while, when I started playing more and more and more. And, you know, the tip jar would be out, and I'm not even unbeknownst to me, and I'd look how much cash was in there. There could be a couple of $100 or more. And I'd look at that cash, and I'd be like, you know, it looks like that's the routine. It looks like that's the MO of this business. And as musicians play, you know, that's how it works. So, you know, okay, take, you know, just, okay, whatever. that's what people do. They tip you. And so after a while I started, you know, I didn't ask for it, but after a while when the tip thing was there, I just, okay, that's the way it is. I'll see what I get. I never took the microphone and said, oh, by the way, folks, there's a tip jar out there. Hey, you know, I never did that. But I didn't do, because I've always felt the same, even though, of course, I made a whole lot more money at the time. I made much more money flying than I did playing guitar in a bar. But I just feel that you choose the profession and you choose what you're going to do with your life. You choose that. You know, nobody forced me to play guitar. You know, I went to college. You know, I was an airline pilot. You know, you go to a vo-tech school or do whatever, start your own business or whatever you might do, whatever you choose to do in your life, you choose that to do it. And sometimes I would imagine like you take a wait person at a restaurant, they choose to do it because it there are tips. When you take that job, that's how you get paid, and that's part of that job. But to me, being an airline pilot, you don't see tips accepted as part of the description of how you get paid. when you fly from here to Austin, Texas, you don't get off a plane and go to the captain and say, "Here's $100."
true, very true. When I fly, though, I do like to say thank you to the captain and the crew, though, if I get a chance to. Yeah,
well, good for you.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Well, that's no, great. I can't tell you how many flights. Well, actually, luckily, there haven't been that many, but there has been more than a handful of flights where we were busting our butts, keeping the flight as smooth as we could, like, you know, traveling. I remember one time in particular going from Tampa to Chicago, and we were paralleling a cold front the whole way up. I mean, just right on the edge of this cold front, trying to keep our distance from it, but we were crisscrossing, going up, going down, and just trying to avoid all this bumps and turbulence and getting knocked. We felt like a can of sardines and somebody shaking the can real hard, you know. But keeping the flight safe and smooth, and then we land, and what occurred to me, but we kept the flight smooth, you know, so they really, you know, smooth as we could anyway. And the passengers really don't know what you're doing up front. You know, they're in the back, you know, enjoying their drinks, whatever, listening, talking, whatever they're doing in the back. And we're up front, you know, working our butts off trying to keep this thing smooth and keep everybody comfortable. I mean, really asking air traffic control, should we go up, should we go down, how about we go right? You've seen a hole over there, let's go that way, let's go this way, back up, back down. And, you know, a couple hours of that, you're like, woo-wee. Whoa, there's got to be another way to make a living, you know? But then you make a really smooth landing, and you hear all the applause in the back. Whoa, woo, little do they know. What if I made a really rough landing? But they had no idea what I went through the last 2.5 hours. They had no idea. But, boy, God forbid I make this landing where I bounce a little bit. You know, oh, that guy's a horrible pilot. Oh, you feel that landing? Oh, my God, that landing.
The amount of judgment that falls upon you, right, in a situation like that, when you've got to deal with everybody. Well, not deal with everybody,
unreal.
But their life is in your hands, isn't it? So,
unbelievable. So, Harry, Amanda's also a talented composer and musician. I should let you know that she composes. She composes music using production equipment like synthesizers and keyboards and voice loops and all that. She does some amazing.
I'm so sorry. I'm pulling up to a client on the freeway. I do apologize.
You should put your client on the phone. Tell him, hey, I'm on a radio show. You want to talk?
Oh, bless.
Hey, Harry, don't be a stranger to the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I will be calling in more often now.
Great. Oh, please be you're a friend of the show. Glad to meet you. And Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 3 p.m. our time. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. our time.
Thank you so much. I will catch up with you guys, both of you. Thank you so much. Amanda.
Have a safe day. Be safe out there.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now.
Bye. What a lovely guy.
That was Harry. You know, the friend of the Andy and Amanda show?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Lovely to have Harry on board.
Yeah. That great.
He seems like a lovely guy.
Hear about the show. They want to chime in and call, just say, hey, what's going on? Hey, that's what we're about, folks.
Yeah.
About.
It's fantastic. Love it.
Yeah. pretty cool.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Today, for me, is a very good day.
It is indeed. Yeah.
It is a good day. It's a marvelous day. Did you hear about Jeff Beck?
Yes, Jeff Beck. For those who didn't hear, Jeff Beck died. Yeah. He came down with meningitis suddenly. Mm. Yeah. Guitar icon.
Kind of going over it while you had to answer the call. Excuse me.
Well, I'm glad that you good. Yeah. Thank you for doing that, by the way. Thank you for doing
You're
that.
You're welcome.
We got a roll, and what I think I'm going to do is I have a new song called This Shirt.
Ooh. Yeah.
And back in the high school days, girls, guys too, used to wear flannel shirts, very little, if any, makeup, hair down, loose, turtlenecks, flannel shirts, blue jeans, you know, back in the 60s and 70s when I went to high school in the 70s, and it was, you know, very laid back, you know, and girls were very, you know, speaking as a guy, you know, women were very natural, you know, let their hair down, very little makeup, flannel shirts, turtlenecks, you know, loose clothes. A girlfriend of mine, a couple of them actually, and me too, would wear these flannel shirts, and it would be kind of cool if you were somebody's girlfriend or somebody's boyfriend, and you wear your significant other's shirt. Like we'd swap, you know, I'd wear my girlfriend's flannel shirt all the time. This song called This Shirt, and I have some of my clothes, not from high school, but I have some shirts from that go back to 1987, because I'm such a sentimental romantic, and I see these shirts that I wore a certain part of my life, and I was just a particular girlfriend or whatever that means, that was so special and so sweet, and I look, and I can't get rid of the clothes I wore at the time, you know, I can't get through that way, I can't, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but, I know.
But I've got a song called This Shirt, which is in the middle of production right now, it's almost done, and what I figured I would do, because we're on the show, is maybe play it, and I'll play it as our heading out of here music, if I can find it,
Fantastic, I look forward
to it. It's called This Shirt, and the original concept of this tune was by a country of who I've got a chance to meet and hang out with when she was first starting in the late 80s, named Mary Chapin Carpenter. And that's where I picked it up from and kind of rearranged things and whatever, you know. But anyway. And I started hearing her version of this tune back in the late 80s, early 90s. And I just meant so much to me because I could relate, you know. So anyway.
I see.
I gotta find. Here it is. I got it. All right. Why don't you say goodbye and then we'll play This Shirt by one of my latest forthcoming releases, This Shirt by me. So we'll do that together. But go ahead and say goodbye, everybody. Amanda, welcome back to the show, man. So great. Thank you, darling.
Thank you.
Yes.
So apologies for the splurting with the coughing every now and again, guys. But as you can see, I'm still on the mend. But it's great to be back. And now it's time to say goodbye. It's gone so fast. But I look forward to joining you again on Friday. We both do. So on behalf of my amazing co-host, Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, myself, Amanda Love here in the rainy UK, have a wonderful rest of the week and catch us again on Friday. Thank you so much for sticking with us. I'm so happy to be back with you guys. So take care of yourselves and keep smiling and enjoy Andy's new song.
Colors washed away. I've had it now for more damn years than I could count anyway. I wear it beneath my jacket with a collar turned high. So old I should replace it, but I'm not about to try. The shirt's got silver buttons and a place upon the sleeve, where I used to set my heart up, right there where anyone could see. This shirt is the one I wore to every boring high school dance, where the boys ignored the girls and we all pretended to like the band. This shirt shirt was a pillow for my head on a train through Italy. The shirt was a blanket beneath the love we made in Italy. The shirt was lost for 3 whole days in a town near Buffalo, till I found the locker key in a downtown tramway's bus depot. Decided to give birth to 5, and we stayed up all night watching as we wept when the last one died. The shirt was just an old faded piece of cotton, shining like memories inside those silver buttons. So old I should replace it.